in our cameras. I am not dressed for Shabbos early, and I'm not dressed up because it's Pesach Sheni. I'm dressed up because I respect Jackie Feigenbaum, and the shiur today is dedicated Le'ilu Nishmas Chaim Yisachar Feigenbaum. He's somebody who almost all of us knew. He brought more achdus and ahavas Hashem into the world in his short life than most of us will do in many times that. Sponsored by the Feigenbaum, Richmond, Finkelstein, and Maxwell families, and may our learning today be an aliyah for his neshama. Today is Pesach Sheni. Don't mean to brag, but I went to the Kotel this morning to daven. Hadn't been there for a long time. They've reopened. It's bizarre. Like you get herded into these little pens to daven in, but you know it's still the Makom HaMikdash. And I thought to myself, it's a good day to go because all of a sudden now Poskim are talking about whether you have to tear Kriya. Most people don't tear Kriya when they go to the Kotel Bizman Hazeh, but there was some theory that was put out there. Well, okay, you don't go, but what if you couldn't go? And the answer is it's been closed to, you know, to most of us for 6 weeks. So there's some theory. So I thought, okay, if I go on Pesach Sheni, then I won't have to deal with the question, the issue of Kriya, even though I have no idea if that's true. I really have no idea if that's true, but being that today is Pesach Sheni, and I find the topic fascinating. For most of us, Pesach Sheni, I guess nobody even thought about it. I don't know, did the shul send something out whether you say Tachnun or not? It's interesting. The halacha is that you say Tachnun, but I think nobody says it. I think the minhag is that nobody says Tachnun on Pesach Sheni. But why don't we talk about what in the world Pesach Sheni is? And obviously, I want to talk about Pesach Sheni narrowly. But I also want to talk broadly about this whole idea of second chances in halacha, right? I assume if we were sitting around a table and we had a conversation, I asked you, what's Pesach Sheni? People would say exactly what it seems to be, which is if you missed Pesach Rishon, you know, there's a makeup date, like in university, you know, if you missed a test, there's a makeup date, right?
Ellie, I'm sorry to interrupt, but the Yekkes do say Tachnun.
Why am I not surprised? You might, you know, for people who, for whom Tachnun brings great joy, then it makes sense to do it on Pesach Sheni. You know, so disappointed for you that it's not a Thursday or a Monday. Happiest days of the week. Okay, back to where we are. Let's assume we say great. Okay, Pesach Sheni means you missed Pesach Rishon, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, you know, a makeup date. But then my question is, and it's not a brilliant question, anybody could ask it, wait, but why don't I get a makeup date if I forgot to take a lulav? Or why don't I get a makeup date if I was in the hospital in Rosh Hashanah? Why don't I have a shofar makeup date, right? Why don't we have makeup dates for other mitzvahs? What is it about Korban Pesach that allows for or necessitates a makeup date? That's one thing I want to talk about. The second thing I want to talk about is the nature in which the halacha is presented in the Torah. As we'll see when we look at the sources, instead of there just being a parsha about Korban Pesach, and then within that parsha, kind of this detail of, by the way, if you miss it on the 14th of Nisan, you could do it on the 14th of Iyar. Instead, we have this narrative in which these Anashim Hayu Tmeim LeNefesh Adam, they come to Moshe and they say, Lama Nigara, right? There must be something, even if when I don't know exactly what it is, there must be something about the fact that the Torah shared that story with us in a way that, you know, we normally don't find the Torah, or more precisely, we find in one and only one other place in the Torah. Okay, let's start at the beginning. If I ask you, what second chances do we find in the Torah, right? What mitzvahs are there for which, if for whatever reason you did not fulfill them in their appropriate time, you could do them at other times?
Bris Mila.
Somebody make a suggestion.
Bris Mila.
Okay, Bris Mila is a good one, right? Bris Mila is a mitzvah that the Torah says, by Yom Hashmini Yimol Bisar, or so the mitzvah is on the eighth day. But obviously, we all know that if for whatever reason you can't do it on the eighth day, then you do it on the ninth day or the 10th day or the 11th year or the 20th year. You do it your whole life. Okay? So it's a good example, but it's not a good model for Pesach Sheni. Why not? Because if the din of Pesach Sheni was, listen, if you missed Pesach Rishon on the first opportunity that you have, bring Pesach Sheni, then that would be a good model for Bris Milah, right? Or if the halacha was Bris Milah could be done on any day that, you know, can be divided by eight. So it's the 8th, the 16th, you know, that's not the din. You can do it on any day, but Pesach Sheni has only one day. But still, okay, it's not bad.
Doesn't the Torah also give you up to 3 years to bring the masers and the true?
Well, no. Yes, and you have to do it. You have to do it yearly, and there's vidui maestros after 3 years. Okay, karbanos have a form of tashlumin. Certainly, let's say a chagiga on the regel. So you have an extra day after Sukkot. You have an extra day after Pesach. You have 7 days after Shavuos. So there is, again, this idea of
leeway,
of a makeup date. But again, the makeup date is exactly, you know, comes right after the date on which you were chayav to do it in the first place. We have, hopefully not halacha l'maisa very often, but we have that with respect to tefillah. What's that? Everybody knows there's tashlumin for tefillah. So let's say, if for whatever reason, God forbid, you didn't daven shachris this morning. So the din is, so long as it wasn't bemazed, the din is you daven two minchas. And if, you know, you missed mincha for whatever reason, the din is you daven two marvs. And if you missed marv, the din is you daven two shachrises. But again, there, as everybody knows, if you missed shachris this morning and you remember tonight, there's no tashlumen. Tashlumen for tefillah only exists in the next tefillah, right? If you missed one, you could daven to the next tefillah. But if you didn't do it at the next tefillah, you're out. And by the way, the extent that Pesach Sheni applies, even if you didn't bring Pesach Rishon b'mezid, that's not true for tefillah. And it generates a really interesting discussion amongst poskim. What, it's a side point, but I'm fascinated by it. What's the definition of shogeg and mezid with respect to tefillah? So the Machmir position wants to say, you know, if there was a 1:30 mincha in shul and you remembered it, but you said to yourself, you know what, I don't need to daven now, you know, I have all afternoon. And then for whatever reason, you forget to daven mincha, some post can say, wait, that might be mezid. Because at some point you remembered, you made a decision not to, you know, you did it anyway. That's a machlokas. I think for the most part, we're mezid. But similarly, a person who goes to bed really, really late and decides not to set an alarm. Well, listen, if I get up, I get up. If not, I'm not. I don't know. These are questionable areas of tashlumen. But, you know, all that by way of introduction, let's go to the Makoros and let's start learning. Okay, let me just get this into one sheet. One second, I'll make it bigger. I know we have some elements. Okay, here we go. So let's start, just to get it out of the way, with some quick lumdus. It's an interesting mitzvah. The Rambam counts Pesach Sheni as an independent mitzvah, and the Rambam is well aware of the fact that it really shouldn't be. Says the Rambam, HaMitzvah HaNun Zayin, number 57, He Shetzivanu Lishchot Pesach Sheni, Mi shenimna mimenu Pesach Rishon. Says a person who was unable to bring regular Karban Pesach does Pesach Sheni, and we'll see the psukim in a second.
We'll see.
And then the Rambam asks in the end of the second line, Uvekan yesh lamak sheshi yaksha alai v'yomar elai. Lama ze timne Pesach Sheni? Why would you count Pesach Sheni as a separate mitzvah? V'zeh soter mashi hikdamto b'shoa shashivii. Right, the Rambam has 14 principles by which he counts mitzvahs. He says this is against your seventh principle, which is shedin ha-mitzvah lo yimna mitzvah bifnei atzma. Meaning, the Rambam says details of a mitzvah don't get counted independently. So, for example, there is one mitzvah of bringing lulav, esrog, hadasim, and aravos. Each one doesn't get counted separately. The Rambam is clearly saying, wait, Pesach Sheni seems like a detail in Pesach Rishon. What's the mitzvah? There's a mitzvah to bring a Karban Pesach on the 14th of Nisan. Oh, and by the way, if for whatever reason you couldn't bring it on the 14th of Nisan, There's a makeup date on the 14th of Iyar. Says the Rambam, Yeda makshe kushya zog, shachachamim kvar chalku b'pesach sheni. The Rambam says, if you're asking me that question, you should know there's a machlokas. The machlokas is, im yedino kidin pesach rishon, ohu sivui ne'emar be'atzmo. The Rambam says, you'll see there's a machlokas. Is Pesach Sheni a detail in Pesach Rishon? Or is it no? Is it its own standalone commandment? Upaskaha halacha shehut sivui ne'emar bi'atzmo. And the halacha is that it's a command and it exists independently. Therefore, says the Rambam, it's appropriate to count it as an independent mitzvah. Okay, how could we test this? If we wanted to ask ourselves, how do I know if Pesach Sheni is a detail within Pesach Rishon, or it's a standalone holiday?
If the halachot are different.
The halachot are more or less the same. The external halachot are different. You're right. You could have chametz in your house when you have Pesach Sheni, but Pesach Sheni has to be brought exactly the way of Pesach Rishon. Here's the one. People forget.
You weren't yet chayev.
What?
If you weren't yet chayev for Pesach when it was
excellent. Held. Excellent. You don't get credit for it because your camera's off. But, you know, when I was a kid, anybody who got bar mitzvah during Sfira, you know, by law was obligated to talk about, right, what's the din if you got bar mitzvah in the middle of Sfira Soma and you started being drabanan and then you became Doraisa. But, you know, if it was me, and if I knew anything when I got bar mitzvah, because I did get bar mitzvah during Sfira, I would have talked about, wait, what if you get bar mitzvah after Yud-Dalet Nisan, so you weren't chayav in Pesach Rishon, but there you bar mitzvah before Yud-Dalet Iyar, and now you're chayav in Pesach Sheni. If it's a makeup day, then you weren't chayav the first time, right? If it's independent, then you are. The best example, which most people discuss, is a ger. If you were megayer between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni, do you have to write, if it's an independent mitzvah, and we'll see this later on, if it's an independent mitzvah, then fine, you have to do Pesach Sheni. But if it's a makeup for Pesach Rishon, you aren't chayv in Pesach Rishon, you don't have to do Pesach Sheni. Okay, but before we get back to the lamdos, which is interesting, I want to deal with the issue of how the mitzvah is presented in the Torah, which the Rambam hinted at, because the Rambam points out, right, it's not presented as a detail within Pesach Rishon. In fact, it's presented as this independent, really, really interesting story. Look at source number two. Okay, we're in Bahaloscha. The parsha starts by the Rashi Moshe Midbar Sinai Bashana Shenis, second year. Let's say some Me'aretz Yisrael Bachodesh Rishon Leimor. So this is the one and only Karban Pesach that was brought in the Midbar. It's 1 year after we left Mitzrayim, and the Torah says Vayasu Bnei Yisrael Asa Pesach B'Moado, and Klal Yisrael brought Karban Pesach in the second year, the way they were commanded to. And then you have a story, Pasuk Vav, right, where my cursor is. Vayehi anashim asher hayu tmeim lenefesh adam. There were these people who were tamei lenefesh, means they had contact with a dead human body. And as a result, v'lo yachlu lasos ha-pesach bayom ahu, right, because they were tamei, they were unable to bring the Karban Pesach on Yud Dalet Nisan. Vayikrivu lifnei Moshe v'lifnei Aharon bayom ahu. And they appeared before Moshe and Aaron that day. And they said to them, Vayomeru ha'anashim ha'hema elav. And they said to Moshe and Aaron, Anachnu tmeim lenefesh adam. Okay, we're tamei. Lama nigara is a really, really, it appears, I think, only twice in Chumash, maybe a third time. It's a strange phrase. Lama nigara means, why should we be excluded, right? In modern Hebrew, a word that's used very often, sadly, is giraon, which means a deficit. Lama nigara levilti hakrivet karban Hashem b'moado b'toch b'nei Yisrael. Why should we lose out on bringing the Karban Pesach with b'nei Yisrael? Now, the answer is, what do you mean, why should we lose out? Because that's the halacha. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, if you're tamei, you can't bring a Karban Pesach. And by the way, they're not losing out, right? They're not doing anything wrong. It's as if the mitzvah doesn't apply to them, right? There are tons of mitzvahs that don't apply to us. A person who doesn't have a house a person who doesn't have a house with a porch, well up off the ground, doesn't have the mitzvah of a makkah. He doesn't have to put a railing around his porch. There are tons of mitzvahs like that. People who live in chutz la'aretz don't have mitzvahs of shmita and trumas and ma'ayim. Okay, so you don't have that mitzvah, right? God willing, I'll never do the mitzvah of gerushin. Okay, big deal. But they argue.
And but the comparison is not similar, because everybody has the chiyuv on them, and something happens to this person that exempts him for that temporary moment.
Great. Like a person's an onain, so he can't do mitzvahs. Doesn't sit in a sukkah, he doesn't make a lulav. There are tons of circumstances in which the result is, the question you ask yourself is, am I doing something wrong by not bringing Karban Pesach? The answer is no. In your circumstances, that mitzvah doesn't apply to you. It's as simple as that. And how do I know it's true? Because Moshe says in Pasuk Ches, Vayomer Alehem, Moshe imdu v'eshma'a mayitzave Hashem lochem. Now, this is fascinating, I think. Right? What was it? Moshe thought he knew the halacha. What was it that they said that made him think that, you know what? I should check with the boss.
Because I think the people were saying, we feel a deficit that we can't do this, because this had changed their lives.
I'm sure you're right about that. I'm sure you're right about that. All I think is shocking is, you don't have a parsha in the Torah where the halacha is given. Well, there'll be one more that we'll see. The halacha is given, and then people say essentially, hey, I don't really like this halacha. Now, they do it completely the shame shamayim. Of course, you're right. And then Moshe says, you know what? I'll check with God. I think to myself, without knowing anything, you know, is this the only time it happened?
No,
so I can tell you, as it happens, we had a thing with the Rosh Hashanah this week. And I asked him a question similar to this. And he said, how do you know? Maybe it happened hundreds of times that people came to Moshe and he said, you know, Imduva Eshma'a Mayitzava Hashem Lachem. But then he came back and he said, no, the answer is exactly as I presented to you in the first place. But here, at least in theory, and no one attacked me on this, at least in theory, it's possible to read this parsha as if the halacha was changed because of these people. It's at least theoretically possible, because when you look at it, and I've cleverly broken it into two paragraphs and two, just to show you how easy it would have been to skip paragraph one and to just start as it normally does. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe lemor, daber al bnei Yisrael lemor, ish ish kiyat hamei lanefesh, right? Blah, blah, blah. Pesach sheni. But the Torah goes out of its way, and let's speak like from people. The Torah had an editor, right? The editor is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who made a decision to put the story in before the passage of Pesach Sheni. The second interesting thing about it is that these people came and said, you know what, we're Tamei, it's not really fair, we want to be included in Karban Pesach. So God says, okay, you know what, Dabel b'nei Yisrael le'mor ish ish kiyet Tamei l'nefesh. Okay, that's what their claim was. O b'derech rechoka lachem. They didn't say anything about derech rechoka, right? That no one was b'derech rechoka in the Midbar. They all lived around the Mishkan. So that makes me think that this parsha was waiting to be said, because the din of derech rechoka was in no way related to what they had asked. Just as an aside, just because it's fun and makes me sound frum, there are people, there's a big discussion bizman hazeh about the chiyuv of Karban Pesach. Because almost certainly we paskin that Karban Pesach doesn't need a Beis HaMikdash. On the afternoon of Pesach, gets arrested with a sheep in his car. You know, like he's going to the Makom HaMikdash to bring a Karban, and they arrest him. You know, it's all like a ceremony that happens every year. One of the really weird but cool chumras are people leave Yerushalayim on Erev Pesach so that there'll be Biderech Rechoka, so there won't be a Chiyuv of Karban Pesach. And one of my sons said to me, hey, if you go to the Kotel on Pesach Sheni, wait, won't you have a theoretical Chiyuv of Karban Pesach? So the answer is, recently Rav Shechter wrote a tshuva where I guess he heard that these people were asking the government for permission to bring Pesach Sheni. There was no way the government was going to say yes. Nevertheless, Rav Shechter felt the need to write a tshuva pointing out that Pesach Sheni really only applies if there was a Pesach Rishon. It's only a makeup date if you had the first one. But if you didn't have the first one, then there's no Pesach Sheni at all. Okay, be that as it is, the Torah then describes the din of Pesach Sheni, which is identical to Pesach Rishon with respect to how you prepare the carbon and how you eat it, and tells you in Pasuk Yud Gimel, V'aish asher hu tahor uvederech lo haya, but a person who was tahor and was not a long distance from the Beis HaMikdash. Again, that's another halacha that we're going to have to deal with, Limos HaMashiach. Right? The Mishnah says, it's a machlokas whether you're just outside of the Beis HaMikdash or you're about 15 kilometers away, which is a half a day, you know, journey on a donkey. But, you know, what happens in our age, right? What happens when you could take a train or you could take a plane? What, God forbid, if there are Jews who still live in Teaneck, when there's a Beis HaMikdash, what's there? V'choka? Don't know. Okay? But the din is, if you could have brought it, V'chada lasot ha-Pesach, then v'nichrisa ha-nefesh ahim me'ameha, you get kares. Why? Ki karban Hashem lo yikri b'mado cheto yisa ha-ishahu. Because you didn't bring karban Pesach when you were supposed to, and the din is kares. Okay? Let's look and see. There's one Rashi here. Let's see what Rashi says about our question of, is it at least theoretically possible that these people changed the halacha?
Eli, this sounds very similar to Benot Slovcho, right?
Exceptionally similar. And just in case you think I didn't think of it, when we get down to source number three, the next source, I already have it on the sheet. So you're absolutely right. Let's do one at a time. So Rashi says, Lama nigara, omar lahem, ein kachim kraven bituma. It's details, but it's fascinating. Moshe said, listen, you can't. Right, they were arguing with him. Amru lo yizarek hadam alein b'kohanim tohrim v'yochal ha-basar la-tohrim. No, it's all details that we're in the last day of our tomb. We're not really tamei. Somebody else could sprinkle the blood. No. Amar lohem imdu v'eshma'a kitalmid ha-muvtach lishmo'a mi pirabo. Rashi sings, look how great it is. Moshe Rabbeinu had confidence that anytime he has a question, he could just go to God. Ashrei yulud isha shekach muvtach, right? Praiseworthy is a human being who has that kind of confidence in his relationship with God. She calls man. Shayel wrote, Seha yom midaberi mashchina. Now you get to our point. He says, Uri'uya haita parsha zo, lehe yomer al yidei Moshe kishar kol ha-Torah kula. Really, Pesach Sheni should have been taught to us by Moshe Rabbeinu, like everything else in the Torah. Ela shezachu elu sheteomar al yideihem. No, but these people merited that the parsha was said through them, shemegalgalin zechus al yidei zakai, right? Because we bring, it's like mitzvah, goreris mitzvah. They wanted a mitzvah, and so this mitzvah was said in their name. Rashi's clear, it would have been said anyway, but this way they merited it. Something I find fascinating, which I don't want to spend too much time on, is these people merited that the parsha was said in their name. Yeah, but who are these people? So Chazal have three possibilities. Right, it's not in the pasuk, right? You go back up, vayhi anashim ashahu tmeim lenefesh adam, right? The Torah doesn't say their names. Why not? I don't know. Chazal have three possibilities. One, they were Mishael and El Tzafan, who were the first cousins of Nadav and Avihu, and they had to pull them out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim when they were incinerated, and that happened on the eighth day of Nisan, by Yom HaShmini, so they were still tamei. The second is, they were Nosei Arono Shel Yosef. Meaning, we know that Bnei Yisrael took the bones of Yosef HaTzadik with them to the land of Israel where he was buried in Shechem. So they were carrying Yosef. What's interesting, it's a side point, but it's fascinating. What's interesting is, both of these assumptions assume what? That people didn't die.
Nobody died in the desert yet.
That nobody died. Right? Because otherwise you just go, well, it's a guy whose father died, Rahman al-Litzlan. Okay? The assumption is that somehow, you know, people didn't die, and that's critical for Parshanut issues when you have the counts of Bnei Yisrael, sometimes they come out the same, there's a discussion, did people die, didn't people die, you know, at some point clearly people died. The third possibility is it's a meis mitzvah. In each of the three cases, these people are tzaddikim, I simply point out that the idea is that they got the zchus of the parsha being said in their name when the Torah clearly didn't want to tell us their names. Okay? Now, let's move on to the parallel parsha in the Torah, Binos Tzlafchad, and you'll see in a second why it's so obviously parallel and why the Torah set it up that way. Here it comes. Source number three, this is the end of Bamidbar, when we're about to do the Nachalos, we're going to go into Eretz Yisrael, we're dividing up the land. Vatikravna Binos Tzlafchad ben Chefer ben Gilad ben Machir ben Menashe l'mishpachat Menashe. So first we have, you know, five generations back above Tzlafchad. And you can't, for all that these stories are parallel, you can't help but notice the difference, right? This pasuk is made up of almost entirely of just names, right? The Torah couldn't bother to tell us the names of the Tmei Meis, but the Torah tells us five generations of grandparents of Tzlafchad and the names of each of his daughters. They couldn't even be Bnos Tzlafchad. Their names appear here and they appear in other places also. Okay? Vat Pasuk Bet. Do with that as you want. Vata Amodna Lifne Moshe Vlifne Elazar Kohen Vlifne Nisim Vichal Haida Petach Oel Moed Lemor. And they stood in front of Moshe and Elazar with this question. It's an exact parallel, except, right? Go back to source number two. There too, the Tmei Meis came by Yikrivu Lifnei Moshe Lifnei Aaron. Okay, here it's Lifnei Moshe Lifnei Elazar. Why? Because Aaron is no longer alive. So Elazar is just standing in his place. And what do they say? Avinu Meis Bamidbar. Our father died in the Midbar. V'hu lo haya b'tocho eido hanoadim al Hashem ba'adat Korach. He was not part of the evil Korach's rebellion. Parentheses. The assumption being, if you were part of Korach's rebellion, you did not get a nachala in the land. Close parens. Ki bechet omet uvanim lo hayulo. No, he had his own sin. Another strange pasuk. Chazal think maybe he was the mekoshesh eitzim. Okay, he died on his own, and he has no sons. Now the halacha is at this point that if you have no sons, then the dead father's brothers inherit, but daughters don't inherit. And now they say, Lama Yigara Shem Avinu Mitoch Mishpachto. Again, Lama Yigara, exactly like Lama Nigara. Why should we lose out? Why should our father lose out? Ki ain lo bein, just because he doesn't have a son. Tina lanu achuza betoch achei avinu. Right? We want to inherit in our father's name amongst our uncles. And again, shockingly, Moshe doesn't say, listen, I'm sorry, but that's the halacha. Instead, Moshe says, Vayakrev Moshe et mishpatan lifnei Hashem. Again, you know what? Exactly like imdu ve'eshma'a ma'itzav Hashem lachem. Again, I'll ask the boss. I don't know. Seems reasonable to me. I don't know. I'll ask. And then you have the next parsha. Same thing. Vayom Hashem al Moshe le'mor. Kain benot slavchot doverot. It's a little different than the first story because here God seems to say they're really right. And I'm sorry, but I can't help but read the pasuk as if, yeah, we're going to change the halacha. Nason titen lahem achuzat nachala b'toch achei avihem va'avarta et nachalat avihem lahem. They should inherit. Ve'al b'nei Yisrael t'daber le'mor ish ki amut uvein ein lo va'avartem et nachalato levito. Here's the new halacha. A father who dies without any sons, the daughters inherit. That was not the halacha until B'no Slavchad showed up and complain. Did they change the halacha? So there seems to be four possibilities in Rashi. In source number four, Vayakrev Moshe et Mishpatan. First, Rashi says, what happened? Nit alma halacha mimenu. Moshe forgot the halacha. Right? The halacha always was that daughters inherit. He forgot. Vikan nifra, he was paid back. Al shen natal atara lomar. Here he was punished. Listen, if there are any really hard questions, they'll come to me as if he knows all the answers. So here he forgot the halacha, right? We have the same Medrash Chazal with respect to Pinchas, right? Pinchas says to Moshe, shouldn't we kill this guy? And Chazal says Moshe forgot the halacha. Davar acher, second possibility. Re'uya haita parsha zo lihi katev al yidei Moshe. Really, this parsha that daughters inherit should have been given by Moshe, just like Pesach Sheni should have. Ela shezachu benot slavchad v'nichteva al yadan. This is a reward to benot slavchad, who complained, and therefore the halacha was written in their merit and in their name. Again, strange that here we know exactly who they are, and in the parallel story with Pesach Sheni, we don't know who the anashim asher hayu tmei lenefesh adam were. Okay. Third possibility. Kein benot slavchad davro ki tagmo yeyot. They're correct. Kach kituva parsha zo lefanai bimarom. God said, no, this was always written in front of me. This was always going to be the halacha. Magid shera'ata einan mashalo ra'ata eino shel Moshe. That benot slavchad saw something in the Torah, like they knew that this was supposed to be the halacha, and Moshe Rabbeinu didn't. Okay, it's also interesting that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kiyilu said to himself, I'm going to hold on to this halacha until it's necessary. Right? Now, I don't know for a fact. I'd like to say this is the first circumstance in Jewish history in which a father died and left only daughters and not sons. Because otherwise, God would have given the halacha before, but I can't know that for sure. But the last one is the one I like the most. Kein benot slavchad dovorot, yafet tiva'o. Their claim is lovely, is correct. Ashrei Adam shehakadosh baruch hu modeh lidvarav. Rashi says literally, praiseworthy is the person to whom God admits that the person was right. At least in this possibility, it sounds like Rashi is willing to entertain that they really did change the halacha. That the halacha was going to be no sons, it goes to the uncles. And Bino Slavchad came, L'shem Shamayim, and complained and challenged, and they were rewarded with a changed halacha. Okay? I don't know what this means going forward, right? For people who want to use this as a model, hey, let's just complain now and change the halacha, it could very well be that the model went out of, you know, became extinct when Moshe Rabbeinu passed away. Once the Torah was codified, and we no longer could turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and ask him, so then this possibility went away. But at least in theory, it existed then, and I'm convinced, although I'm not going to take the time to try to articulate it because I'm not sure, it's meaningful that there are two halachos in the Torah, one of them being Pesach Sheni, that at least sound like they exist only because people complained. And in both cases, people complained that they wanted to be chayiv in something, they wanted to be part of something, right? Obviously, they weren't looking to get out of a mitzvah. They were looking to expand their obligations halachically. Okay, let's go back to the question we started with. And the question was, why does Pesach Sheni have a makeup date when we don't find that as a model with respect to other mitzvahs, right? What makes, let's assume that's simply the case, that Pesach Sheni is unique, okay? So what makes it unique? Why is it that we don't have makeup dates for lulav and for shofar and for drabana? You know, we just have it for one mitzvah. So the Sefer HaChinuch, I don't want to say he was bothered by it, but he's all over this point. It's mitzvah shin pei in source number 5. It is the Sefer HaChinuch's counting of the mitzvah Pesach Sheni as a mitzvah. And he doesn't present it really as a question, but it's the question. He says, Mishar Shea Mitzvah. What's a rationale for this mitzvah of Pesach Sheni? And here he goes. Lefisha mitzvah sa Pesach hu ot chazak ubarur l'chol roei ha-shemesh b'chidush ha'olam. He says, bringing Karban Pesach is a clear proof that God created the world. How does this work? He explains. Ki az ba'etahi asa imanu hakel baruch hu nisim v'nifla'ot gidolot. Vishina teva ha'olam le'enei amim rabim. He says, because during Yitzias Mitzrayim, God did open miracles. And what's the definition of a miracle? It's the suspension of the rules of nature. That's what a miracle is. And all the people saw the miracles. V'ra'u kol amei ha'aretz ki hashgachat. So first of all, the first assumption is,
Good morning.
You're the one who made up the rules of nature.
Up in here.
Hello?
See? This has got to be moved. Now you got to do
Henry. Okay.
Took care of it.
Thank you. Let's go on. The assumption is, if you could suspend the rules of nature, then you made up the rules of nature. That's generally understood in philosophy also. So when people see miracles, they believe that the person doing it created the world. Everybody believe. And everybody will believe forever that there is a God. That he created the world, something from nothing, ex nihilo, right? That's a huge miracle. Everything that we create in the world is by combining pre-existing things, for lack of a better scientific word. That's when we know the world was created. You can't, under the rules of nature, create something from nothing. He says, yeah, that's true. You also can't split the sea and have people travel through the middle and then have the sea return. You also can't support 2 million people for 40 years in a desert with bread that falls from heaven. He says, you're absolutely right. All the people of the world saw that these are miracles. And if these are miracles, they represent the fact that there's a God, and there's a God who created the world. And without reading the whole thing inside, it's beautiful, and everybody should read it on their own. But what the Chinuch says is what the Ramban says, and what many Mefarshim say, which is the following. There were three levels of kfira in Mitzrayim, and generally there are three levels of kfira, meaning rejection of God. One is that people say, no, the world pre-existed, right? That's real, you know, dye-in-the-wool atheists. The world pre-existed. That's one level. Second are the people who say, no, I'm fine with the fact that God created the world, but that's it. Then he disappeared, right? He's not involved. He doesn't know anything about the world. And the third is the group of people who say, no, you're probably right. God created the world, and God knows what goes on in the world. But God washed his hands of this world. He does not intervene. He lets the world run however it wants to run. Says the Sefer HaChinuch, Yitzias Mitzrayim disproves all of these. It proves that God exists. It proves that God knows what goes on in the world. And it proves that God is willing to intervene in the world when he chooses to. And so therefore, you know, once we saw this and the people of the world saw it, it became critical to the existence. It became foundational to Judaism. There's only two real zechers that we have in Judaism. The zecher l'maaseh breishis and the zecher l'yitzias Mitzrayim. And they correspond to two ways of believing in God. Maybe that's the wrong word. Nobody saw creation of the world. We believe that God created the world. We are ma'amin that God created the world. But, says the Sefer HaChinuch, we know that God took us out of Egypt because everybody saw it. And then we passed it along. It's true. I don't know the name of my great father who knew it for sure. But the Ramban says that's das. The Chinuch says that's knowledge. So the Chinuch's answer essentially is, and it's fascinating, you know why Korban Pesach has a makeup date? Because it's more important than other mitzvos. It's as simple as that. Because Korban Pesach stands for the fact that God intervened in the world miraculously, revealed himself to us in a way that made us sure that he's the creator of the world. So we don't want people to miss out on that mitzvah. Yeah, and if you had to ask yourself that, you'd say, yeah, it's more important than shofar. It's more important than lulav. It's more important than sukkah. It's more important because it's the foundation of yadus. And presumably that explains why it's one of two mitzvos aseis for which the punishment is kares, because it's really more important. Okay? It may be obvious, but you read it again, you read it in the Chinuch, you know, he's so invested, it's so beautiful the way he explains it, that, yeah, to not bring a Korban Pesach is for, it's a unique example in the Torah, no other example like it, where God gives us a second chance, And that's the explanation for why Pesach Sheni is unique in that aspect of having a makeup date. Now,
shouldn't Sukkah be in the same category? Commemorates the 40 years and the anonym.
Okay, maybe it should have, but in the chinuch, look, I think you have to pick one. You know, it can't be every mitzvah. The chinuch knows that maror is also zeich letzias mitzrayim, and matzah is also zeich letzias mitzrayim, and you know, so is a whole bunch of other things, and so is not eating chametz. But the feeling is, you know, I think what he means is God picked one mitzvah, and that one mitzvah, you know, is the essence of the Seder night. And the Seder night stands for the proposition that everything, I'll say this way, that every single thing in Judaism is true. Therefore, he made a second chance. Okay, very quickly. The Gemara has a three-way machlokas, just to feel like we were Yotzei, the lumdus of Pesach Sheni. Gemara has a three-way machlokas about the rules of Pesach Sheni. We'll do it quickly, but it's kind of interesting in terms of understanding halachically how it plays out. This may relate back to the first Rambam we did about why Pesach Sheni is its own mitzvah. Tanur Rabbanan, source number 6, Psachim, Sadi Gimel Amud Aleph. Chayiv Kares Al Harishon, V'chayiv Kares Al Hasheni, Divrei Rebbe. Rebbe says, if you didn't bring Pesach Rishon, get your Chayiv Kares, and you can't fix it with Pesach Sheni. Pesach Sheni is another opportunity, and if you don't bring on Pesach Sheni, you get another kares. Okay, now, what it means to get two kares is something I don't understand, just like I never understood how the guy got nine concurrent or consecutive life sentences. That's your life, you only got one life, but fine. Two kares, that's Rebbe. Rebbe Nassan Omer, Chayev Kares al Harishon, Upoter al Hasheni. No. The first one is the one that really matters. The second one, you can't get kares for because you already got kares for the first one. Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya Omer, Afal Harishon Eino Chayev Kares, Elohim Kein Lo Asa Sasheni. Now, the way it works is when you don't bring Pesach Rishon, like the punishment of kares is hovering over you. But if you do Pesach Sheni, you saved yourself. If you don't do Pesach Sheni, boom, then you get kares. And the Gemara explains, V'azdu l'tamayu, third line, D'tanya, here's our case. Ger sheniskayer ben shnei psachim, a convert who converts between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni, v'chein katan shehigdil ben shnei psachim, or similarly, a person who became bar mitzvah between the two, chayav lasos Pesach Sheni divrei Rebbe. Rebbe says, no, such a person has to bring Pesach Sheni. Rabbi Nassan Omer, no. Kol shezokok l'rishon, anybody who had to bring the first Pesach, zokok l'sheni, has to bring the second. Kol she'ein zokok l'rishon, if you didn't have to bring Pesach l'rishon, ein zokok l'sheni. And the Gemara explains, b'may kamifligin, what's the machlokas? Here it is. Rebbe Savar Sheni regel bifnei atzmohu. Rebbe says, no, Pesach Sheni is a standalone regel, unrelated to Pesach Rishon. This is how the Rambam paskins. Therefore, says Rebbe, if you didn't bring Pesach Rishon b'mezid, you get kares. Now forget all that. Now you come to Pesach Sheni. If you don't bring Pesach Sheni b'mezid, you get another kares. Because Pesach Sheni is independent. It's not independent. Isn't it dependent on the fact that you didn't bring Pesach Rishon? Yeah, but that's just the rules by which we figure out who's chayev in Pesach Sheni. But it's almost as if Rebbe pretends it's unrelated. You ask me, who has to celebrate the holiday of Pesach Sheni? I'll tell you, anybody who didn't celebrate the holiday of Pesach Rishon. But it's not a makeup. And how do I know this? Because if you didn't have a chiyuv to celebrate Pesach Rishon, if you weren't Jewish at Pesach Rishon, if you weren't bar mitzvah at Pesach Rishon, you still have to do Pesach Sheni. Okay? So Rebbe says it's a regel bifnei atzma. Rav Nosson Savar, Sheni Tashlumon Derishon Hu. No. Pesach Sheni is a makeup date for Pesach Rishon. Tikune L'Rishon Lo Matkin Lei. But it can't fix it. Meaning whatever punishment you got for Pesach Rishon, for not doing Pesach Rishon, you're going to keep. But now God does you a favor and allows you to break. Rabbi Hanani ben Akavya Sobar, no. Sheni Takanta de Rishonu. No. Pesach Sheni is a makeup date for Pesach Rishon. And if you didn't do Pesach Rishon, but you do Pesach Sheni, it's as if you didn't do anything wrong when you didn't do Pesach Rishon. Okay, so we have three shitos on the Lamdus side. One is that Pesach Rishon, Pesach Sheni exists independently of Pesach Rishon. That's probably how we paskin. That's certainly how the Rambam paskins. On the other side, it's no. Pesach Sheni is a complete makeup for Pesach Rishon, meaning if you didn't do Pesach Rishon, but you do Pesach Sheni, you fixed it. The in-between shita, which is, it's a makeup, but only somewhat. Mm. It's like you didn't take the original exam. You start the makeup test, minus 10 points. So you could still get a 90, but you're still going to be punished for not having done Pesach Rishon.
Yeah, Ellie, does Rebbe, according to Rebbe, if you didn't do it b'mezid, meaning you didn't do it b'mezid, right? So are you able to do a makeup and do a b'mezid?
Absolutely. Because it's like I didn't sit in a sukkah. It's not really true, but it's like I didn't sit in a sukkah on sukkahs. Can I bring Korban Pesach? Well, okay, you were mevatel a mitzvah b'mezid. But that has nothing to do with this. So Rebbe would say, yeah.
But the whole line was, if you're talking about the Nefesh or if you're Derech Choga, then you have an opportunity to do a Pesach Sheni. Not if you were there and you need to do it, but maze it.
So the answer, it's a strange thing, and we don't have time to do it. The halacha is not kipshuto of the psukim. Uh-huh. And if you look at source number 5, the Rambam says, Misha atam b'shas shvitas ha-pesach shen shokhtin olav, or b'derech choga, onenas bonus acher, o shagag. No, the Rambam, I think, in the Rambam, I think you're right. Oshagav lohiku rishon as a maybe pass up shebein avayim. She says a mitzvah of doch the shav shein hashen hashlushin el a regel bifnei atzma lefika chayav olav kares. Okay, look in the Gemara, it's a whole fancy thing which we don't have time to. But if you look in the Gemara, right, Rabbi says chayav kares al rishon. Look where the cursor is. V'chayav kares al hasheni. Divi Rabbi. Pashtus of Rabbi is you get kares twice. Right. The only reason you get kares is because you didn't bring it b'mezid. Okay. So. To recap and make a final point, because we're going to run out of time. First, we saw in the Lumdus part, I suppose, the possibility that Pesach Sheni exists as an independent halacha, sort of unrelated to Pesach Rishon. Then we talked about, we saw that in the early sources and the late sources. Then we talked about this historical anomaly that it sounds at least like in the Psukim, both Pesach Sheni and the inheritance of the land by daughters, that the halacha may have been changed because people proactively, wanted to be chayav in other things. That's a possibility. Maybe Rashi thinks so in one case. That's fascinating. Then the main point that what makes second, what does it mean that you have a second chance with respect to Korban Pesach, but not really with respect to other holidays, where the Chinuch seems to say that it has to do with the fact that, Korban Pesach is more important than other mitzvos. But I want to suggest something else, which I'm sure is suggested by other people and is based on, real things that other people have said. But it seems obvious to me, and I think it explains a lot of this. We mentioned already that there are only two mitzvos, aseh, the punishment for which is karis. Okay, one is Korban Pesach, and the second is, as was mentioned at the beginning of this year, Bris Milah. Okay, now at the time I tried to separate between them that look, Bris Milah could be done at any day and Korban Pesach has only a special day. But that was kind of a weak argument, even I would admit, because it would be strange for people to bring Pesach Sheni or Korban Pesach on any day that they wanted. We don't really have that. But here's what I think. We often discuss, what does the punishment of Kares mean? There's a huge machlokas. In Rishonim, doesn't mean you die early, doesn't mean, God forbid, your children die, doesn't mean you don't have children, doesn't mean you don't get Olam Haba. There's all kinds of theories for Kares. But what's basic to all the theories are, you're cut off. Kares means to be cut off, okay? Now, what does it mean to be cut off? So if you look at Bris Milah and Korban Pesach, there's something. It doesn't exist in any sefer, but you can Google it. Okay? If you look at surveys for the religious events that most Israelis observe, and I think it's clear it means most Jews, and this includes Chilonim, the percentage of Israelis who circumcise their boys is well above 90%, and the percentage of Israelis who have some form of a bris milah is well above 90, I'm sorry, who have some form of a seder is well above 90%. And the explanation is simple. The explanation is that if you don't do the most basic things that Jews do, well, you're out of the team, right? You have kares, not as a punishment, but as a consequence. You have chosen, if you don't participate in the most foundational and fundamental parts of Judaism in any form, right? If you don't circumcise your son, you're saying, I don't want to be part of Klal Yisrael. And so what I want to suggest is, first of all, that kares is not a punishment for mitzvos aseh. It's not. Why do you get kares for not bringing Korban Pesach and not circumcising your sons? It's not a punishment. It's a consequence. You have chosen to separate yourself from the Jewish people. That means kares. Okay, forget all the fancy lumdos. You've separated yourself. That means kares. So therefore, with respect to these two mitzvos that are so central and so fundamental, I guess I'm expanding on the Sefer HaChinuch. God wants us to do it. And it sort of explains the Anashim Ashehayu Tmeim L'Nefesh Adam. Yeah, there are plenty of mitzvos that we miss out on for different reasons. Okay, and we miss out on them. So, you know, we're not punished and we don't get the schar. But here, these people, Ke'ilu, were saying to Moshe, and it's a year after Yetzias Mitzrayim, if we don't do Korban Pesach, it's like we're not acknowledging that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim. We're desperate to do it, not as a narrow halachic matter, but as a statement that says we are part of Klal Yisrael. That's why we let Gerim do it. That's why we let Bar Mitzvah people do it, because it's not just a makeup. It's an opportunity for people to announce that I want to be part of Klal Yisrael. Rav Schechter once suggested that Korban Pesach can serve or did serve in Mitzrayim as a Korban Hager, as a Korban that a Ger would bring when he becomes part of the Jewish people. Because this is a statement. And every year that we do it, it's like, it's as if you had to renew your Jewish identity card. And the way you renew it is by bringing Korban Pesach every year. And then people who can't renew it, so they say, okay, don't worry, you don't have to renew it this year. But they say, no, but I want to make a statement. And so I think that the explanation for Korban Pesach and Bris Milah as being two mitzvos that are tied to kares is simply that if you don't do these things that are so fundamental to being Jewish, you've cut yourself off from the Jewish people. And almost certainly, that's the pshat in Pesach Sheni. And maybe that's why these people were listened to when in other circumstances they wouldn't have been. Because these people said, you know, we want to be part of Klal Yisrael, and we understand that we're not chayev, but we're insisting on it anyway. Okay, those are the basic ideas. We are out of time. I guess, I hope everybody's sprung by next Friday, but I guess if not,